Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Paul had a genuine, real heart for the lost. And you and I should have a real, genuine heart for the lost. Because it's possible for us to be believers and be Christians and not really have that heart. But we should.
The Apostle Paul was willing to sacrifice his own life if it meant his Jewish brothers and sisters could be saved. We may not be called to sacrifice our lives, but are we praying for that coworker, that teacher, that grouchy neighbor to come to know Christ? Are we willing to share boldly our testimony and what Jesus has done for us? With more on developing a heart for those who need the gospel, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Romans 10, 1 through 14.
Open up your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 10. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. Our Bible study is out of the book of Romans. We are going line by line, verse by verse through the book. We're going to cover four verses this evening, unless I go too slow or too fast. And then we'll cover a few more. But I got four that are planned and prepared, and that's probably what we will end up doing this evening. I just want to encourage you guys on the evidence for the historicity and the truth of the scriptures is so incredibly strong. It's so strong today that many of the U2 atheists have ended up becoming Christians once they learn of the transmission of the Bible. The word transmission means from the time that the manuscripts were discovered until we have what we have in front of us today. And the evidence for that is stronger than any other writing on the planet. There's no book that has as many manuscripts in the original, which would be Greek. We have 5,500, more than 5,500 Greek manuscripts. The next closest one to that, I'm not even sure what it would be, but it's nothing even close. And then the archaeological discoveries that are proving the historicity of the Bible just should allow us to trust it more and more. We believe what God's word says. We believe that we get the truth and we gain the truth from it. And if you're visiting here with us today, we really want to welcome you. And we hope that the Lord reaches out and touches your heart here this evening. So with all of that being said, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich. It is deep. It is meaningful. It is powerful. It is profound. Your word says it's alive and active and works in our hearts. Your word says that it doesn't return back void, but will accomplish the things that you send it out for, which is in our lives. And Lord, as we turn to your word, we look to see you convict us, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us truths that we can apply to our lives that would bless the way we live. We know that your word is our authority. It is inerrant in the things that it teaches. And so we thank you, and we pray that you'd bless this Bible study this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our line-by-line, verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans. We are in chapter 10. We're in the middle of that section in 9, 10, and 11, where the context is the nation of Israel and why the majority during Paul's time of Jews were not following Christ. That's true in our day as well, that the majority of Jews don't follow Jesus, but there's far more that follow Christ today than there was in his day, and the number is growing exponentially. There seems to be a movement, not only among Jews, but among Muslims as well. There's also a movement among young men and young women who are giving their lives to Christ. God's just moving in profound and powerful ways, and I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing. Now, we saw that the problem that Paul was dealing with at the end of the last chapter was that the Jews and Gentiles are saved by faith and not by works, and that many of the Jews believed it was because they were Jewish. And because they kept Judaism from the time that they were born, that they thought that they were okay. It's like if you grew up going to a Methodist church, like I did, and you think, I'm okay. I mean, I'm going to church. I grew up in the church. I'm okay. But you never put your faith in Christ. Or Martin Luther, who was Catholic his entire life, and then all of a sudden discovered what Romans says and Habakkuk says, that the just shall live by faith. The just shall not live by things that you do, but the just shall live by faith. And just that concept rearranged his life, that you put your faith in Christ, you are born again, you become an entirely new person. And then chapters 10 and 11 as well relate to the salvation, the theological term, soteriology, through faith, with chapter 11 concluding with God continuing the work with Israel, saying that all of Israel is going to be saved. So the number of people getting saved in Israel is going to grow and grow and grow until the vast majority of them are receiving Jesus as their Messiah. A lot of the Old Testament is being hidden from them. They don't know Isaiah 9:6 and Micah 5:2, which Isaiah 9:6 says a child is going to be called God. And Micah 5:2 says that the one who's born a ruler out of Bethlehem, his days are from eternity. But the more they're learning these and that they are in their Tanakh, they're in their old, their Hebrew Bible, the more they're ending up coming to Christ. Now, the title of our message is The Right Person, The Right Way. The Right Passion, The Right Way. That's part of my problem in reading my notes. I just don't read them. I glance at them. The right passion, the right way. You can be passionate about a lot of things. You can be passionate about your church. You can be passionate about your denomination. You can be passionate about your pastor. You can be passionate about a lot of things, but you could that could be the wrong way to get you into heaven. Jesus said, many are going to call me Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say away from you, I never knew you. You have to have that personal relationship with him. And by doing that, you have to receive the work that Jesus did on the cross to move from his wrath on you to his goodness and blessings in your life. Now, are you on the wrong road? Do you think you're on the right road, but you're on the wrong road? And that's what the Jews of Paul's day thought. If you would have told them that they were not on their way to heaven, they would have told you, you're nuts, you're crazy. We're Jewish, we're on our way to heaven. And that's why Paul put so much energy into Romans 9, 10, and 11. This is what separates virtually every religion from Christianity. Christianity is what God did for us and us receiving it, believing it by faith. Every other religion is what you do. There's things you have to do in order to be saved. Heading down the wrong path can be costly. The story is told of a man who spent almost 3 hours in the wrong direction trying to get to a wedding. He had the address and he used his GPS and he followed the route without giving it much thought. He had his suit on, he had his packages, his gifts in the back seat. But when the road turned down a gravel road and basically disappeared by a barn, he realized something was off. He ended up at that barn with some cows and no call service and lost for sure. Later, he looked back to the address he entered. He realized he picked the right name. He had the right address. He had the right street, but he had the wrong state. So there were two states next to each other. He put in the wrong city, town, street, and address into the wrong state and entered the entirely wrong place. That's going to happen to people spiritually. They're going to be convinced. They're following the GPS. I'm doing what the pastor told me that I need to do. But they're going to find out when the day of judgment comes that they are not his, that they do not belong to him. Now, let me read to you the passage that we're going to be covering tonight. And I want you to see once again, the context is Israel. We spent almost one entire study talking about the context of Romans 9, 10, and 11. And it's all about Israel and that God can choose if God wants to give people salvation by faith. That's what we're learning in these three chapters, that God's chosen through faith to give justification to men, which means that men who are not righteous can be born again, can be saved. So I want to read to you these four verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel is for Israel, that is that they may be saved. I'm going to start it again so I could get it right. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have an excitement about the wedding, but they're going the wrong way. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, which is only given by faith in Jesus Christ. In what Jesus said in John 3 is being born again. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness of everyone who believes. Now, that's something to underline and to note. If you run into a Torah-keeping group that begins to tell you that you have to keep the law in order to be saved, or you got to keep parts of the law in order to be saved, Christ is the end of the law to those who are to everyone who believes. When you believe in him, you enter out of the old covenant if you're Jewish, and you enter into the new covenant. It doesn't mean you can't do Jewish things if you're Jewish. What it means is you don't put your faith in those for salvation. You can do Jewish things, but it's Christ, it's the Messiah, and your faith in Jesus that saves you, just like Gentiles do Gentile things. We're just talking about customs that people have that are neither good nor bad, or maybe good, or maybe bad. Maybe it'll have bad results in our lives. Now, let's get started with Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they may be saved. We saw this in verse 1 of chapter 9 when he said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. God is my witness that I would be accursed, that my fellow brethren could be saved according to the flesh. Paul was saying, I'm honest with you. I would give up my salvation and be damned for them if they would give their lives to Christ. Paul had a genuine, real heart for the lost. And you and I should have a real, genuine heart for the lost. Because it's possible for us to be believers and be Christians and not really have that heart. But we should be really praying and seeking God. Our prayers make a difference, especially in a time like we are living in today, where revival is happening and people are coming to Christ. The latest demographics are showing that young men are coming to Jesus at a faster rate now than it's like 28 years ago. That's an incredible thing that's happening for our time. And along with the young men come young women to church. If young women start getting saved at higher numbers than before, the men don't necessarily end up going. But when men go, the women end up going, and I believe that we're going to see revival. I think God's moving. We're going to see a lot of people ending up coming to Christ. As I said earlier, a lot of YouTube atheists, and there are YouTube atheists that have degrees and are better educated about it, but a lot of them are not. They were just mythicists. They just believed Jesus didn't exist, which we have more surety that Jesus existed. We have more written about him, not only in the canonical gospels and Peter or James and John and Jude, but we also have Tacitus, who was a Roman historian. We have Josephus, we have Philo, we have Pliny the Younger, and we have other writings about Jesus. We know he existed. It is beyond doubt that there was a man who lived in Galilee who was called Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and whose tomb was empty because a religion started, a movement started. And it wouldn't have started, that believes in a resurrected Lord, if the tomb wasn't empty. So the tomb was empty, and Jesus appeared to several people that spoke of him. So Romans 9:1-4, let me read that to you. I tell you the truth, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, For I could wish that I myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain adoption, glory, covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and promises. So all of these things are still given to the nation of Israel. God has still given them promises. And many Old Testament promises are spoken directly to Israel. Some of them that we as a church should not appropriate have been appropriated by us in the church when they're given to Israel. And there's an entire movement where people believe that God set Israel aside, replaced it with the church, and then fulfilled his promises to us, the church, instead of to Israel, which I believe is not true at all, because it's not. God is holy and pure and right and always does what's right. We know what's right or wrong. Therefore, we can say what God does or won't do based on what's right or wrong. And is it wrong to give a promise to someone and then give it to someone else instead of the person that you promise it to? Now, Paul had a deep emotional longing for the salvation of his people. He prayed for them, and he believed in the power of prayer. Are you praying for the people that you want to see to come to Christ? Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your acquaintances. Are you praying that God would give you an open door for boldness that you might be able to share with them? Are you praying that God would bring other people into their lives? Because that's what happens. And I've been doing this long enough that I've seen people go for decades without responding and then suddenly begin to respond. I've seen people that you care about, that you love, that you're praying for, and I've seen it take time to do so. Why does it take so long? Who knows? But God tells us that we are to persist in our prayers. James 4, 2 and 3 says, "You lust and you do not have, you murder and you covet and you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." So you end up in wars because you want something, but you're not gaining from God because you haven't even asked of him. It says, "And you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your own pleasures." So God's never promised that he's going to answer prayers for our pleasure, but prayers that he wants. The Bible says that God's desire is that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Twice it says that. So when we begin to pray for people's salvation, when we faithfully call out to God for them, God's listening. The next thing, he didn't write off Israel. He kept praying. He could have said, "It's been a long time. They haven't done anything." He wrote the book of Romans while he was in Corinth. When he was in Corinth, he went into the synagogue. While he was in the synagogue, somebody blasphemed Jesus. And he got so angry, he went outside of the synagogue in Corinth and he shook his clothes off. It was his way of saying, "I'm going to have nothing to do with you." And he says, "I'm not doing anything here with you anymore. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles." And he went and he preached to the Gentiles, and the leader of the synagogue got saved and became a Christian. And he went into Jason's house next door to the synagogue. So he didn't go too far from the synagogue. And many Jews got saved in Corinth, as well as many Gentiles. He really did not write them off. Don't write off those because it's been decades or it's been years. Keep praying for them. Keep praying that God will move. The answer is on its way. Daniel prayed for 21 days. Gabriel said, "I was dispatched the day you started praying. And today I was able to deliver it to you because one of the archangels, Michael, came and fought for me." So he was in a spiritual battle with the prince of Persia and couldn't bring the message of Daniel about the nation of Israel returning to the nation of Israel until Michael, who happens to be the prince of the nation of Israel, happens to be the angel that's over the nation of Israel, delivered him to be able to bring his message to him. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will receive if you don't grow faint. Don't grow faint in your prayers towards them. The verse gives us a model of what a godly burden looks like. When you go back to the verse and you look at it, it says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." That we would have a heart's desire along with a prayer to God that someone would be saved. Because that's the most important thing. I have prayed, "Lord, just get them to heaven." I've made that prayer before. Just get them to heaven. At the end, let them be there. I don't want to see their lives and the things that they could do for God destroyed. But above all, I want them to be saved. And I want them to find heaven itself as well. So these verses give us a model. And we're called to intercede, by the way. So interceding is the type of prayer for praying for other people. We give supplications, which is asking God, but we also intercede. Someone said one time that there's no intercession in the Lord's Prayer. The problem with saying that is, so think of the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, in the name of Jesus, amen." That's the Lord's Prayer. But did you notice something about it? It's all in the us and the our from the very beginning. Our Father. We start off with our Father. So we're not just praying for us, but we're praying for one another. And we ought to think about that and have that heart of intercession and knowing that our prayers make a difference. So we come to verse 2. It says, "For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Now, Paul knew what this was like. To have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because he had a zeal for God and he persecuted the church. He was going the completely wrong direction. So you could be zealous. As I said, some people get excited about their church, but are you as excited about Jesus as you are about your church? And if you are just as excited about Jesus as you are for your church, then you probably got a problem. You ought to be more excited to Jesus. I like when we lead people to Christ. I like to say to them, "You didn't just raise your hand and join a church. You raised your hand and became a Christian who follows Christ, a disciple of Jesus." And how much more profound and significant is that?
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.